Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. You can have a seat. So, just to let you know, give you an update, Pastor Bill's doing great. I told you he was a stubborn guy, which you know, but he's been up and moving around, which has popped his stitches. And the doctors are like, dude, like you just had back surgery. And he's, you know, he's got his walker. He's just like, woo, he's mobile. It's cool. But he's like, man, I really wanted to be here this morning. He's like, but I popped popped my stitches and I got an infection. And he's like, but please tell everybody I'll be at the gathering tonight and I really want to see everybody. So he'll be here tonight. His plan was to come for the end of first service and stay through the beginning of second service just so he could see everybody. And then he was going to get out of here, but that's not happening. So we're going to start a new series this morning. I'm excited. It's a series that's going to run alongside of a study that we're doing in our life groups, in your life groups. And what it's going to be, I'm excited because it's going to kind of be an extension of our Sunday morning teaching while we're running through this series. And we've talked about doing this for a while, and I know we've heard from some of you that are like, man, we'd really love something like this. Well, here it is. This is what we're going to do. Now, Pastor Ben at our Tracy campus actually opened this series a week ago. So last week he actually opened this series, and I wanted you to hear from him a little bit. So I got him up on video here. So check out Pastor Ben.
Once again, good morning, and Zone students, just stay with us for a few seconds. I'd also like to say a special good morning to our Lathrop campus, and we are beginning a 8-week series on the uniqueness of Christianity. And Christianity is definitely unique. It is truly unique. Eternity, our life, everything hinges upon the one whom we derive our name from, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one who has conquered death. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He was crucified for our sins. He was buried in a tomb. But 3 days later, he rose from proving that he has the ability to forgive us of our sins and to give purpose for our life here on earth. It is for this reason that Jesus boldly proclaims in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The reality and the uniqueness of Christianity is not just this heartfelt religion. Rather, it's a logical and secure reality of eternity and our reality here on earth, our humanity. It brings truth and purpose to our lives and to this world. While over the next 8 weeks, we may hear about different religions, the goal is not to become fluent in these religions and what others believe, but to understand in even a greater way why Jesus is the answer to all of life's questions and to all of the things that take place in our life. To grasp what our Creator intended our life in this world to be, and to understand the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You'll be learning about different religions, the cults, the occult, to see how they stand in contrast to the truth of Jesus and Christianity. But let me caution you, we're not going to be learning about these things so you'll have information to belittle or to badger other people, but so that you can share with them the love that God has afforded you in the person of Jesus Christ. In other words, so you can love them as Jesus did. And so as the goal should be every week, and I say it to you here at Tracy and also to you in Lathrop, listen to those who are on the platform, but most importantly, listen to the Holy Spirit who speaks to our hearts, who is the one who makes true change in our life. With that, let me pray for us today, not just for our time here, but also for both of our family of churches, our campuses. Jesus, watch over our time today. Watch over us in these next 8 weeks as we tread through a difficult topic. I pray you would give us the ability to hear the Holy Spirit well, to hear His promptings in our heart. Speak through those here at Tracy and also those in Lathrop who are bringing the message. Let us speak with clarity and let us speak with power. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you that you are the way to eternity. You are the way to purpose on this earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Pastor Ben. Appreciate that. As I'm watching this, this is how my mind works. As I'm watching this, I think to myself, do we close our eyes when we do a recorded prayer? The prayer was done last week. It was an odd thing for me. I was like, you got in reverence. There you go. I like that. I think it's very important for us to understand other religions, other belief systems. It doesn't do us any good to be intentionally ignorant to what someone might believe and why they might believe it. Again, I'm going to reiterate, this is not a course so that or a series so that you can understand everything there is to know about certain religions, but just to give you a base understanding of a knowledge of why what people believe and why they believe it. Some of you might walk in here and say, well, and think about this series that we're going to do and get a little bit upset. You might walk in here on a Sunday morning and hear that we're going to be speaking on Mormonism, or we're going to be speaking on Jehovah's Witness, and you might want to turn and walk right out of the door, but I urge you caution. I implore you to reconsider, because these are people that you interact with on a daily basis. These are people that have hopes and dreams just like you and I do. So if someone says to you, hey, I'm a Mormon, and you don't know anything about Mormonism, what do you say to them? My guess is you say the exact same thing when you tell somebody that you're a Christian and they don't know what that means. What do they say to you? That's good for you. I'm so glad that you found that. Because they don't really know what you mean. Maybe they've heard some things or have heard about Jesus, okay, but they don't really know what being a Christian means. So they have some preconceived notions and maybe some misguided information that they're working from. They've heard it once or many times. They've been once and it was horrible, so they don't want to go. I'm telling you, just about every culture in this world has some sort of a religion, some sort of deity or being that they worship, that they live for, something in their life that gives them meaning and purpose. We must, as Christians seeking to change this world, we must first reach it. And it's a great place to start to have some sort of connection when where we derive our purpose from, where we derive our beliefs from, are two completely different spots. If we know just a little bit about what they believe and why they believe it, it might give us some common ground to start with. With that in mind, we're going to be starting this series in a familiar place with Christianity. Wow. Now, don't shut your minds off because Paul's going to be talking about the basics of Christianity. Please don't do it. I heard an analogy one time and someone spoke to me and they said, man, when you really need to get into Christianity and understand it. And they did this, it was like a bank teller analogy. And they said that do you have any bank tellers in here? No bank tellers? When you go and you get hired as a bank teller, they don't show you all the different types of counterfeit money that you're going to see. Why? They'd show you 40, 50 different types that you're having to study. No, they show you the real thing. And make you study the real thing so much so that when something comes that's different than it, you'll understand that and go, ah, that's fake. I don't have to understand the 40 different types of fakes. I only need to understand the real, and that will show the fakes. That is a fantastic analogy. That's exactly what we need to be doing as Christians, is going, okay, I know what I believe and why I believe it so much that when somebody comes with something different, I go, hold on, that doesn't makes sense to me. That doesn't fly. No. But here's where this analogy falls glaringly short. Because as, you know, my mind, I play everything out. Let's just take it another step. Well, what happens to the counterfeit money once they figure out that it's counterfeit? They go, well, that didn't have the line. Counterfeit money, what has no value, does it? Doesn't really have any value. So it's crumpled up, it's thrown away, it's shredded, or it's burned. In Christianity, we have to look at the fact of the matter is we place value on the ink that's printed on the outside of the money. Because your $100 bill and your $1 bill are both pieces of paper. But we value it by what is printed on the outside. And when we see something that's counterfeit, we say, there is no value there. But in Christianity, in God's economy, it doesn't work that way. God sees past the ink and sees to the paper and says, you are all equally valuable. Are we going to throw this person away because we differ from their beliefs? I want to look at why we believe what we believe, so we can really understand that, but also use this time as a connection to those people that are around us. They believe something false, but that does not mean they need to continue to believe that. When we looked at the study book, when I was going through the study book in your first week, I'm like, dude, there is a whole lot of stuff in here. Way more than I can cover on a Sunday morning. I'd have you guys in here for 2 hours. I'd love it. You'd hate it. So I'm going to go over some basics, the pillars of Christianity, if you will. And it starts with our God. A look at our God. I really hope that you find this, like I did, encouraging, uplifting, that it restores your faith a little bit. That's my prayer for you guys. Our God was there at the creation of the world. Why? Because He created everything. In 6 days He created it, and then He rested on the seventh, right? Now, whether you believe that it was a literal 6 day creation, 24 hours, boom, six of those, and everything's made, or you believe that the days were more like eras and they spanned for thousands of years, I don't care. I don't care. Because the bottom line is that He is the Creator. So whether it takes Him 1,000 years or 6 days, we still can't create something out of nothing. No one else can do it. Ben told me a joke one time, and I've told it a million times, but I'm going to tell it again. So if you've heard it, you can stop me. Actually, you can't, because I have a microphone. Too bad. Scientists come to God, and they say, dude, we've created life. It's amazing. We're going to be just like you. And God's like, phew, this is pretty crazy. Go ahead and show me. And they go, no problem. It's crazy. We're just going to take some of this dirt, and then we can make life. And they turn around, and God goes, hold on. Get your own dirt. You can't create something out of something that I've already created. If you're going to create life, you best breathe it out of nothing, like I did. Our God has many qualities, many amazing attributes, okay? And when I did this lesson for youth, it was a series that took 4 weeks. And our youth people know, I talk for like 30 minutes at least in youth, at least. I'm definitely long-winded. So we're going to go over it really quickly here. I'm just going to run through them, okay? If you want to know them, you should look them up, okay? Sovereign. Sovereign meaning highest or supreme. Now, when I first heard this, Nick talked a little bit about how he discipled me back when I was a baby Christian. And we went over sovereign. I don't know if he remembers this, but I asked him, is it like solvent? Like my dad was a mechanic. You stick stuff in solvent and it, and so I figured if he's sovereign, it wipes away everything and it, you know, you're clean. No, that's not. Highest supreme. There's nothing above him. There are no other gods above him. He is at the top of the ladder, period. Eternal, there's no beginning, no end. Think of the timeline, beginning and end of time, and God sits on the outside, so He is eternal. He wasn't birthed, He wasn't created, He has always been. Ha, righteous. Righteous! It is impossible for Him to do wrong. Now, there might be times in your life when you're on your knees shaking your fist at the sky, thinking, He's definitely not righteous because He did me wrong. No, He didn't. It's right. Deal with it. Veracity. He's absolute truth. That means He can't lie. He's not false. He's not going to lead you astray. You can trust what He says. Immutable. This is another one. And I'm like, immutable means you can't shut Him up. And I literally thought, because I'm like, immutable, that's what it should mean. Let's be real. But it means that He's unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change, which is amazing. Just means He's fair. I mean, He's always fair. And this is, we're getting into the omnis now, and I love these ones. Omnipotent. Now, I got a great way to remember this one. Potent means strong. Something's potent, it's strong. So you can think of it as omnipotent. When I was hanging out with Nick, I used to call it omnipotent, and he'd say, no, Paul, it's omnipotent. And I'm like, no, I need to remember it. And the way that I remember it is by calling it potent. Omniscient means He's all-knowing. That means there's nothing that is hidden from His sight. He knows what you did last summer. He knows what you're thinking now. Stop. Omnipresent, He's infinite. He's in everything and everywhere. There is not a space in which He does not consume, other than hell, obviously. Love, perfect, infinite love as well. Now, as we were going through this, I'm like, man, there's a lot of these things. So I created an acronym to help you remember. Let's see it. Servajoule. Servajoule! I messed with this thing for 15 minutes and I could not get a real word out of that. So that's what you get. Okay, God comes in three forms. We call it the Trinity. God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christianity, religion, believes that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth. He was born as a virgin, lived a sinless life, died a death on a cross, and rose 3 days later, defeated death. We believe that each woman, man, child has sinned, and that sin creates a separation from God. And the only way to bridge that gap is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. The declaration of this belief and the faith to confess it leaves us covered in the blood of Jesus, and our sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. This, in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen, is the gospel. Our sin comes from Adam and Eve. I've been using you a lot this morning, Nick. Talked about yesterday, or last week, right? He's the king of excuses. Like, what? The woman and then that? No. The sin happened. The sin infiltrated us, and now it carries to every single person. Doesn't matter. The only way back to Him is through Jesus Christ. Like Pastor Ben said earlier, John 14:6, Jesus replied, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to God except through me. Jesus Christ is the only way. In Christianity, Jesus is a huge deal. But I don't have to tell you that. If you're sitting in here, you have some understanding of who Jesus is. But as we talk about kind of the pillars of Christianity, I want to start a little bit before Jesus was born so you can understand a little bit about what people were saying about Him before He was born. Prophecies are things that people say will happen in future events, and they were prophesying about the birth of Jesus. They were prophesying about what He would endure 700 years before He was even born. Now, when you look at, you can go to a bunch of different biblical sites. There's a million different amounts of prophecies that Jesus fulfilled, ranging from 300 all the way up to 500. As many as 100 prophecies fulfilled in the book of Isaiah alone, which is pretty crazy. Isaiah 7:14 says this, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. Normally we see this verse in December, don't we? We don't see it in September. One of the many study sites I went to showed 500 prophecies that Jesus had fulfilled by His birth, life, death. And as I was scrolling through, I felt my faith just growing, like, wow, that's amazing to think about that. What would be the possibility that one person could fulfill all those prophecies? I wonder what the mathematical probability is. Well, Paul, that's a great question you've asked. I'll go ahead and answer that. As I was working through this, I'm going to be frankly honest with you. While I was working through this, and I'm studying, and I got my stuff down, and I'm writing, and I get to this point, and I'm like, this is going to be perfect. And then I started looking it up, and these are like calculus problems. When I give you guys information, I like to be able to verify the information. And I'm looking at this calculus problem going, I have no idea if it's right. I don't know. So I had to go to a million other sites that led to this site saying, yes, this is trusted. Yes, the American Scientific Association. Listen to this. Check this out. Peter W. Stoner and Robert C. Newman wrote a book entitled Science Speaks. Why? Yeah, the author's name's Stoner. Perfect. The book was based on the science of probability and vouched for by the American Scientific Affiliation. It set out the odds of any one man in all of history fulfilling 8 of the 60 major prophecies. Just 8 of those prophecies fulfilled by the life of Jesus Christ. The probability that Jesus of Nazareth could have fulfilled 8 of those probabilities is 10 to the 17th power. So 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Now, I don't know my powers very well. That's right, Justin. It is a lot. So I'm thinking 1 to the 17th power, 10 mil, 100 mil maybe. No. No. 100 quadrillion. Million, billion, trillion, quadrillion. If you took 100 quadrillion silver dollars, you could cover the face of Texas with silver dollars 2 feet deep. And it's the equivalent of dropping a blind man. You don't drop a blind man. You set a blind man down in the middle. And he's blind. and he would have to, on the first try, find the one silver dollar that is different from the rest. As I was seeing these amazing numbers, the confusion left me and my faith was restored, and I'm going, do you know how much God loves you? God loves you that when there is a 1 in 100 quadrillion possibility to make it happen, He makes it happen for you. It's pretty amazing stuff just by His birth, His life, His death. His birth to a virgin was prophesied in Isaiah, and 700 years later it happened. 700 years. We're not talking a year. We're not talking 100 years. This is generational stuff. This is, oh, it's one of those old wives tales they told about this dude, the Messiah that was supposed to come hundreds of years later. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Do you realize that if Jesus was born now, the prophecy would have happened in the 1300s before America? I mean, do you realize what span of time we're looking at here? Jesus lived on earth for 33 years, and in his 3-year ministry, he traveled 3,000 miles, helping, teaching, healing, encouraging, loving, and changing people's lives. He ate with those who were detested, the prostitutes and the tax collectors. He loved on those when others wouldn't. And why do I tell you about this? Why is it important for me to tell you about the life of Jesus? Why is this a pillar of our faith? Because it is this selfless life, this giving life, this sacrificial life that we are to emulate. When we are a follower of Jesus Christ, we are to emulate His life. They have such simple words, but they have such profound weight. Those words put into action changed the scope of the world. Those words put into action created a ripple of Christianity thousands of years later that is still being felt across this earth. These words put into play are the reason that you and I can sit here today. When Jesus went to that cross, it was a scary day for everybody. We looked in our previous series about the Apostle Peter and what he felt, the shame he felt when Jesus went to that cross. Everyone turned their back on God, but in His grace and mercy, He did not stop. He continued forward because it was the only way. It was 1 in 100 quadrillion. It had to happen. While in the tomb, He raises from the dead, Jesus does. They look for Him and they can't find Him. He's not there, but He reappears several times after. Why do I tell you that? Because the man who claims to be God, the man who says everything that's going to happen, it happens, and then He does exactly what He said He was going to do. So that tells us that He is who He says He is. And if we believe that, then Jesus Christ is God. Isaiah 53:5, but He was wounded for our transgressions, He was crushed for our iniquities, upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with His stripes we are healed. And Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. I tell you this because in Christianity, we serve a God that did not send His Son here to be served, but He sent His Son here to serve. To show us how to live in humility with boldness and love. A lot of people think humility and boldness, they don't go together, but they do. To live in humility with boldness and with love. We need only to look to the life of Jesus to see this played out perfectly. God doesn't want a robot. He wants you to do things because you love Him and because He loves you. To do things in His name, to go out and affect this world for Christ. He equips us with everything that we'll ever need. And He says, I'll never leave you and I'll pick you up when you fall. I'll be with you every step of the way. And when Jesus Christ does come, and He will come, He will make all things new. We hear a lot of people saying, man, I just pray for the Lord Jesus to come. Do we really know what that's going to look like? Revelation 21:4 gives us an idea. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. The former things have passed away. We hear this at a funeral a lot because it's meant to comfort those people, to comfort them to say, hey, they knew Jesus, this is where they're going. But it's for us too as well to understand that This is where we're going. And that one day when your time on this earth is done, you will stand before the judgment throne. And my prayer to you is that you will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Not the other thing. "Depart from me, because I never knew you." And there are many that believe they're going to hear one thing when they will actually hear another. I don't want that to happen. Over the course of the next couple months, weeks that we're doing this, you're going to hear a lot about other religions and cults and different things. I want you to keep your mind on the reason that we do this. It's not just to give you information, but it's to give you information so that you can reach the world around you, so you can go out and affect people, because they're everywhere. They're at a party, a sports game, the grocery store, it doesn't matter. Conversations happen, but these people need to be reached. But let's be real here for a second. We know this one thing to be true. They're all wrong. And I don't know how to sugarcoat it any more than that. They're not on the right path. They're believing something that is false. And so we can sit here and say, "Well, I'm going to respect your belief," and then watch them fall right off the cliff. Or we can go, "You know what? I'll respect your belief to a point, but I'm going to have to reach in at some point and let you know, man, that's not what I believe, and here's what I believe and why I believe it." There's a sense of urgency. We love the people that come in here fantastically. I see people walk through this door and you guys are on them and loving them, and that's great. But what about the other people that are in your life? What about the people that don't come directly to you? The people that you might need to take one step to the side to reach, one step to the other side to reach. Are we actually reaching out and loving those people? Are we having any form of connection if their purpose and belief system is derived from somewhere different than our own? I was talking with a friend in my office this week. Came by for an impromptu meeting. It was cool. And he asked me a question. And this is how God smacked me. He's like, "Psh." He asked me a question that I felt like I already knew the answer to. So I didn't answer. I wanted him to answer it. And so he asked me, he said, "Hey, Paul, do you know why people don't evangelize? You know why people don't talk to people about Jesus?" And I was like, "Yep. Fear of rejection. Simple. But I'm not going to say it. I want him to say it." And I go, "No, why?" He goes, "Fear of the unknown." I was like, "What? What do you mean? The unknown rejection? Fear of the unknown." Talk to somebody about Jesus, and then they go, "Great, well, what about this and this and this?" And then you go, "Oh, I don't know." I've been put in many positions where people have asked me something that I don't know. I'm going to tell you right now, and I understand it. It's one of those experience things. You have to experience it. It's not as scary as it sounds. Someone's like, "Paul, what about," like I asked Nick one time, "what about the worm that does not die at the bottom of a garbage pit?" He's like, "What? It's there in Matthew. It's like the last chapter." "What?" And so he's like, "I don't know. I have to go look it up." I'm like, "Okay." And people have come to me and asked me, and I go, "I don't know. I got to go look it up. I'll look it up. And if there's an answer, I'll find it. I'll consult with people that are smarter than me, and I'll figure it out." It's not that bad. It's not as scary as it sounds. That's why I was really excited to have Nick speak last week, because his message really goes into what we're talking about. Because if you're scared to talk to somebody, and your excuse for not doing it is, "I don't know what to say," then you need to be discipled. Period. You need to get into the Word of God and you need to go over it. You need to understand and really get down to what you believe and why you believe it. Don't use the unknown as a reason to take a step back. Don't let them intimidate you that much. I can easily look at a math problem and say, "I don't know. But there is some dude, Eric Pernice is out here somewhere, and he can do the math. I'm pretty sure." I really hope this morning was encouraging to you. I hope that when you hear about these amazing prophecies and the 1 in 100 quadrillion, you look and you're like, "Man, no one could have done that except for God. No man could have made this happen except for God." And God loves you so much that when there is no man-made way, He makes a way for you. And as you go out and as you go through this series, understand that you are being given tools that will help you utilize your faith to affect this world for Jesus, to affect this world for the one true God. And there are no apologies for that. Let's pray.